The back door opens, and I straighten, my feet hitting the deck floor, and I run my palms over my cheeks to dry the tears. A king-sized Twix bar lands with a thud on the patio table in front of me. Then the chair next to me slides out, a body falling into it. The scent of men's cologne reaches my nostrils, giving me an idea of who it is before I even turn my head to look. Peeking, I catch his long, thick fingers wrapped around the arm of a patio chair. The button-down sleeves are rolled up to his elbows, showing off forearms corded with muscles. I swallow back my rush of desire. This isn't the time to be crushing on Hayes Carlyle.
I'll take half his payment.
I face him. And damn, he looks as good as he did when I saw him 6 months ago. He's always been built, but more so since the last time I saw him. He was clearly hitting the gym in the off-season. And here I thought this was your condolence gift. He leans forward, swiping the candy bar off the table and tearing open the top of the packaging.
It was until I had to entertain all your guests. You're welcome.
He pushes the top of the first two bars out of the packaging, holding it out to me. Were flowers too cliché? I slide out one of the bars. He takes the other and puts the candy bar back on the table. Then he holds out his bar toward me as if it's a glass of champagne and there's something to cheers to. I knock my bar with his and get rewarded with one of his swoon-worthy smiles.
I never understood flowers at a funeral.
He props his feet up on the empty chair in front of him, crossing his ankles.
Why would I give someone who's grieving over someone passing away something that's inevitably going to die a week later?
His teeth sink into the chocolate and caramel, and my gaze snags on the vision. I attempt to deny the memory of those lips on mine. In my top five worst decisions ever, that night battles for the top spot.
God, why can't she be mine? All I can think about is what it would be like if there were no kids in this house and her lips were on mine. I remember how soft and tentative our kiss started all those years ago. Then, as I slid my tongue against her lips, she opened for me instantly, as if she'd been waiting to kiss me just as long as I had been. Just when it was getting good, though, she ran. And that's probably the part I should remember most. She clears her throat, and my gaze snaps up to hers. Under any other circumstance, I'd smack on my cocky grin and pretend I'm not embarrassed, but this isn't the time for ogling her, as if I'm only interested in her body.
Thanks for coming, Hayes, but I'm good.
She shuts the door a little, but I put my hand on the wooden door before she can entirely shut me out. Listen, Callie feels bad that she can't be here. She'd kill me if I left. Think of me here. I understand that you don't much like to be around me, but you'll feel bad when Callie twists my nuts off for not helping you. She shakes her head, and a tiny smile forms on her mouth. I take her silence to mean that I might have a shot.
You just finished a game. You have to be tired.
He had a great game. That hit in the ninth.
Lincoln jumps in the air.
Layton let me watch it, but I couldn't hear over Lake's yelling and Monroe's whining.
The little boy rolls his eyes. I'm starting to get a sense of what was going on before I arrived, although Monroe and the bubble tea are still a mystery. Monroe gives Lincoln a dirty look, then Layton turns to me. I already ordered pizza. It's going to be here in half an hour. I hold out my hands.
Pizza? I don't want pizza. I have to have bubble tea!
Monroe shouts. Layton closes her eyes as though she has a migraine, and I wouldn't doubt that she does. She's clearly stressed out and trying to hold it all together. I wish she'd just give up this thing where she feels like she has to do everything herself.